It's good to be with you this morning, and I'm thankful for this opportunity to stand before you and to speak to you for a few moments from God's Word. The theme of the meeting is taken from Galatians 2 and verse 20, and I want to spend just a few moments talking with you this morning about the book of Galatians and about one particular event that is recorded in this book as it relates to our theme. The point of the book of Galatians, especially the first two chapters, is to prove the credibility of Paul's gospel. Having preached in this particular region on the first missionary journey, apparently many of those who obeyed the gospel began to compromise their stand for the gospel. Maybe some of the criticisms appear to have been directly related to Paul's credibility. And so the book of Galatians is written as something of a personal defense, but primarily a personal defense that defended ultimately the gospel. As Paul provides this defense, he recounts several particular points from his life that prove that his gospel had credibility, not because of his association with another apostle or because of his association with anyone in particular, but because of the fact that he was commissioned by Jesus Christ himself. And his gospel came from Jesus. This is the reason that Paul's gospel had credibility. As he supports this particular point through recounting various events, even the history of his relationship with some of the apostles, he tells a particular story towards the end of this line of argumentation that I want to focus on this morning. And I think this particular story illustrates how not to obey Galatians 2 and 20. The story is found in Galatians 2, verses 11 through 16. And we're going to be talking this morning about Peter's mistake. In verse 11, the Bible says, "Now when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face, because he was to be blamed. For before, certain men came from James. He would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. When I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, 'If you, being a Jew, live in the manner of Gentiles and not as the Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews? We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified.'" These particular passages recount a moment in Peter's life that was indeed regrettable, a moment where he made the wrong decision. Paul explains it happened in the city of Antioch, the storied city of Antioch, the famous congregation of Antioch, the church where Jews and Gentiles first assembled together regularly, and where the name Christian was originally used, according to Acts 11 and 26. In this wonderful congregation, you have this moment in time where you have these great men assembling with this congregation, Peter, Barnabas, and even Paul. Wouldn't you love to have been part of that? As amazing as that particular opportunity sounds, it actually turned out not to be such a good time. As we think about this particular moment, we think of the Apostle Peter separating from Gentile Christians, refusing to eat with them because they were Gentiles. Why did Peter make this mistake? Why did Peter separate himself from the Gentiles? You know, it is not because the truth of the gospel was unclear on this point. A universal gospel does not result in a segregated fellowship. That's obvious. A universal gospel should result in a unified fellowship. That's God's plan. And as our brother prayed this morning, there's no such thing as a foreign work to God. We're all just brothers. I love that point, Brian. Thank you for that. We're all brothers. But Peter missed that, didn't he? The reason that Peter missed that is because sometimes personal loyalty clouds judgment. Paul mentions that these men came from James. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean much to me. It doesn't necessarily mean much to you. It didn't mean much to Paul. But it meant a lot, apparently, to Peter. And whether James sent these men with this intention or not, it doesn't say. What seems to be significant is that to Peter, these men came from James. And these men from James had an influence then on Peter, who began to separate himself from them. Personal loyalty can cloud our judgment. Loyalty is a good thing. The Bible says in Proverbs 17 and 17 that a friend loves at all times. Being a faithful friend is a good thing. Being constantly loyal is a good thing. The fix is not to love our friends and family less. The fix is to make sure that we love the truth the most. That we love it enough to stand for the truth even when our favorite people on earth disagree with the truth. Even when our best friends are resistant to the truth. Personal loyalty can cloud judgment. I want to mention a second thing too. And that is that this particular error, Peter's mistake, was not just Peter's alone. Instead, it mentions in this particular context that all of the Jews in the congregation followed him, and Barnabas followed him. There is within this particular passage an important teaching for leaders that your mistakes have a compounded effect because people are watching you, people are following you, people are depending upon you. And especially in difficult moments, when folks struggle for direction, they look to their leaders. And what congregations need, what families need, what communities need are people that faithfully and loyally cling to the gospel, no matter the cost. Peter's clouded judgment prevented him from doing this. And so his influence, unfortunately, was negative. Leadership is all about influence. And we want to use our influence to further the obedience to the gospel of Christ. Personal loyalty clouded his judgment, which rendered him a very poor leader in this situation. But thankfully, Peter has a good friend, and his name is Paul. And this good friend confronts Peter. It's an interesting event. He confronts him in front of everyone in a very blunt way. And you know, one of my favorite things about Peter, there's a lot of things about him I really like, but one of them is the way he responds to correction. It doesn't say directly right here how he responded. What I do know, though, is when Peter wrote 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, he wrote about our beloved Paul. Peter was corrected, but Peter was not bitter. You know, accepting correction is not necessarily something that is easy. It's not something that any of us enjoy. We all need to be corrected at times in life, but none of us enjoy it. But the way that you respond to correction shows a lot about who you really are. Listen to what Proverbs says in Proverbs 9, verses 7 through 9. He who corrects a scoffer gets shame for himself. And he who rebukes a wicked man only harms himself. Do not correct a scoffer, lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The Apostle Peter is a wise man. He accepted this correction and was able, when it was all said and done, to write about our beloved Apostle Paul. I wonder today how you would respond to such correction. How would I respond? It certainly reveals a lot. This particular story of Peter's mistake is an illustration of how not to apply Galatians 2 and 20. If you want to do, and if I want to do a good job of living as Christ would live, and no longer as I would live on my own, then I need to be watchful for my personal loyalties and make sure in those particular moments that my loyalty is first and foremost, our loyalty is first and foremost to the truth of the gospel. As leaders also need to recognize the danger of making selfish decisions, because selfish decisions are hurtful to people that are following you. But the last thing is, even in making mistakes, a person who lives the no longer I kind of life is a person who needs to be willing to accept correction and to love the person that corrects them. In these ways, we can learn a lesson from Peter's mistake. Thank you for your attention.
Well, it's an honour and a privilege to be here. As you might be able to tell from my lack of an accent, I am from Australia. And I was asked to